Hi, this is Jennifer Nanez from Albuquerque, and you are listening to the Pro Hockey News Podcast. Enjoy!
Hello, hockey fans from around the world. I am Richard Cote, the producer of the Pro Hockey News Podcast. It is the second line edition of the podcast, and you know what that means. No, I didn't start the fire, although it has been burning since the world's been turning. It means I am joined by the publisher of ProHockeyNews.com, Lou Lafredo. Lou, how are you doing?
I'm going to continue that music reference and tell you that I'm on cloud nine today because my entire lesson was devoted to the band Volbeat out of the Netherlands and their song Heaven Nor Hell. I now know how to play it and can take it to my band. So it's been a great day.
Excellent. It's always great when you learn a little fun tricks on the guitar. It's been a while since I picked mine up, so you might have inspired me to do that.
Yes.
Listeners, this episode of the Pro Hockey News Podcast is brought to you by Lou pointing down. What's up?
Jacob's Rant. Or Jacob's...
I'm segueing to that. I had a great segue.
Now I ruined it.
Leaning back and easing off, but with my custom sports chair, head over to mycustomsportschair.com, enter in code PHN15 to save yourself 15% off your order from some of the best chairs you could put in your fan cave. Speaking of not backing off and not dialing it back, we have our snarky Canadian Jacob Doherty. Lou, you derailed me, man. It's going to be such a good transition. Jacob, what's new?
Other than Lou blowing it? I don't know.
Wow. I'm the one trying to get your airtime. Go ahead, keep that up. Let's see how much airtime you get next week.
Playoff season. Hockey's a buzz in the country of Canada. We got a bunch of teams this year. It's going to be great.
Yeah, no, definitely we'll be covering some of the action as the NHL season just came to an end. We got the Stanley Cup playoffs about to start. We have the playoffs in the ECHL and the AHL that have already started. We'll be covering those as well. We do have some news from across the pond with Bangers and Mash, but I do have a little bit of a rant this week, fellas. I do have a rant, and we're going to go more in depth into this. So this is a little bit of foreshadowing. It's about bad teams not going anywhere and ownership that just doesn't care to make the team better. This is a hockey podcast, and your minds might immediately go to the Arizona Coyotes. Yes, they already are moving. That has been confirmed. I'm talking about a team that was local here in Colorado, not the hockey team. We're talking about the Colorado Rockies, not the former NHL team, the current MLB team. I have been tracking since they started their season. We have gone 383 days since the club was 500. They have not had an even record since April 2nd of last year. And it doesn't show any signs of actually reaching 500 at any point this year. And the only reason I've been keeping track of this is last year, at the beginning of the season, Dick Monfort, the owner of the Colorado Rockies, or the co-owner of the Colorado Rockies, had this great prediction right before the season started. He said, with great confidence, I think this team can be 500 this year. That is an extremely low bar from your owner to say that you are going to just tread water. You're not going to make in the playoffs, but you're going to win as much as you lose. He was way off. I believe sometime in August, they lost their 83rd or 63rd game, kicking them out. So, Rockies did not go 500 last year. They haven't even touched 500 this year. They are, I believe, my last count, 11 games under 500 right now. So
we can say 11 games.
11 games. Yeah, they have won 4 games and lost 15.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. They are well on their way to obscurity. I was going to say mediocrity, but it's well below mediocre. Mediocre would be much improved. But you know what? They keep selling out tickets because they got a great stadium. Yeah. You go for the afternoon, you drink a few beers, and you're having a good time. You don't care if the Rockies win, and most likely they didn't. Anyway, that's my rant. Lou, before I start going way down and getting myself in trouble with the fans here in Colorado, take it away with Bangers and Mash.
Absolutely. We are in the final weekend of playoffs, and that means the second week of playoffs. The EIHL goes in the regular season to the aggregate games the first weekend, reducing it from a field of 8 to 4. And this weekend we will crown a championship, or they will crown a championship. The Sheffield Steelers remain in the hunt for the Grand Slam. As we've talked about in the past, they did win the Challenge Cup this season, as well as the regular season championship. And tomorrow they face off against the Guildford Flames, who were reseeded into the fourth position for the playoffs. And the winner of that series will face the winner of the Belfast Giants versus Cardiff Devils series. The final four are not unexpected. Each of the four teams that advanced to this weekend took care of business. And if you were laying down a parlay bet, you would have made a dime probably on each of these series. They were basically foregone conclusions, though disappointing that Fife Flyers and Dundee Stars were bounced early, but as well as Coventry Blaze and Manchester Storm. But nonetheless, the first weekend was actually pretty exciting from the clips I've seen. And the games tomorrow, as I said, are Sheffield. All of these games are taking place in Nottingham. This is the other thing that's actually kind of neat about the EIHL. Cities host the entire week, playoff process. And the Nottingham Panthers, though they did not make it to the playoffs this year, are hosting the series. And Sheffield is tagged as the home team tomorrow against Guildford. And Cardiff Devils host the Belfast Giants tomorrow. So that's where we are. By the time we meet again in 2 weeks, we will have a discussion about playoff championship, and Sheffield, I think, will make it to the final, but I have my suspicions.
Okay.
They are going to have a difficult time of it in the championship game, because there's an awful lot riding and teams want to take their best shot at the favorites, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
As always, it doesn't matter where you are, what league you're in, what sport you're in. You always take your best shot at the leaders. So that's really it from the EIHL, the Bangers and Mash. And I'm going to toss it back to you, Richard.
All right. Well, yeah, we'll keep track of that. You can head over to prohockeynews.com as well to check out any updates between episodes of the podcast here. So we will have full coverage on that. Coming back here to the North American continent, we have the ECHL in their playoff. They just kicked off, I believe, last week with the Kelly Cup playoffs. We have a few games in hand here. Most notable, Kansas City leading their series over the Tulsa Oilers 2-0. And we have the Florida Everblades, who are down 1-0 to the Jacksonville Icemen. And that's one series I would like to talk about. Sorry, we have three series that have gone off. Norfolk leads their series over Trois-Vieux 1-0, winning 4-2 in game number one. But I do want to focus on the Jacksonville Icemen and the Florida Everblades, Lou. This was a little bit of a lopsided game. Jacksonville winning the game 4-0 in game one. Game two is going to be on Sunday in Jacksonville. Lou, do we need to be concerned about Florida's goaltending given that 4-0 loss?
I don't know that it's as much about worrying about the Everblades goaltending as it is about the Everblades worrying about Jacksonville. team as a whole. Jacksonville came on late in the season, and this actually was not a surprise to see this kind of result, at least in game one. It's a best of five series. We'll see what happens tonight, but I really wasn't surprised. And it's not so much that the Everblades weren't prepared as much as Jacksonville hosted game one and just played lights out for the shutout.
Yeah. I mean, I don't put too much stock into the first game of a series. Yes, it's important to win the first game. That's, you know, step one to winning the series. And a 4-0, I mean, I believe the last goal was an empty net goal. So really, three goals were hung up on Cam Johnson, who was in net to start that game. I mean, his regular season stats, much better than his performance last night. So I have no doubt he is going to bounce back and at least put up some sort of defense in front of that net. But yeah, I think you hit it on the head, Lou. Florida has just run into a Jacksonville team who came up at the end of the season and is just still on a good run. So they're running that momentum as far as they can into the playoffs. And we'll see how Florida is able to bounce back in game two on Sunday. I mean, the other series we have going on, Norfolk winning 4-2 over Poitiers. They're leading that series 1-0. Game two is actually tonight at Poitiers. Lou, is there anything you're looking forward to in this series in game two? Is there anything you think that we should be on the lookout for?
This one, I have been thinking that Norfolk may in fact sweep this series 3-0. They have had a really solid season, and the Lions didn't stumble into the playoffs, but they really had to win the last, I think, two or three games in order to make it. And they wound up knocking out the Maine Mariners, I think, in one of their last two games in order to make the playoffs. But I just don't see the Lions doing it. I think this game is going to be something of a template over the next two. And as I said, I look for Norfolk to do the sweep.
All right. The Calder Cup playoffs, I believe, start on the 21st.
Tonight.
Do they start tonight? Because we have clinching scenarios tonight.
Oh, that's no. That's it. It's the end of the season right now, right?
Yeah.
Right. Still a couple of games left.
So end of the season tonight, the 19th, as we're recording this Friday, April 19th. So we have the playoffs about to start. We have two clinching scenarios because we have two teams who have not clinched a playoff spot yet. The Lehigh Valley Phantoms can clinch their playoff spot with a win or a point. So just register a point at Bridgeport or a Springfield loss in regulation OT or shootout at Providence. So if they get a point, they're in. If Springfield loses, Lehigh's in. Belleville can clinch their playoff spot tonight with a win at Laval or an overtime loss, shootout loss at Laval versus Laval, and a Utica loss in regulation OT shootout versus Syracuse. So here are our last teams looking to get into the playoffs after, you know, if these scenarios do not happen tonight, we're all clinched up and ready to kick off the 2024 Calder Cup playoffs, which I'm really excited about. I think we got some good matchups in the first round, potentially, depending on how things shake out here. Lou,
yeah.
I'm going to put you on the spot one more time here for the AHL. Give me a team to be on the lookout for who's clinched a playoff spot, who you think might overperform.
Overperform? You would do that. Okay. you know what? I'm going to give you, not because I'm a homer, Hartford Wolfpack. They have a pair. They have a goaltending duo that is really well. It's Louis Domingue is the number one, and Dan Girard is the number two in Hartford. Mm-hmm. And although they do go back and forth, the Rangers manage those goalies pretty well at the AHL. And Domingue came up in the middle of the season when Shesterkin was down. Well, he wasn't injured. He was out for a bit and wound up doing very well. And Domingue had a goalie goal since the last time we met, which is kind of cool. Doesn't matter what level you're of hockey you're in. He had a goalie goal. So out of the East, I suspect I would like to see Hartford be a team to watch. Mm-hmm. Out of the West, an underperformer. I would look. It's not so much underperforming, but Tucson Roadrunners.
Wait, underperform or overperform?
Oh, they will overperform.
Okay.
They're going to overperform. I was just thinking, you know, it's the assumption then is that they're underperforming, which they haven't. But Tucson, I think, will overperform.
Okay, got it.
Not so they're going to win, but you know, I think they'll overperform into a second round.
All right. Let's keep an eye on those two teams, Hartford and Tucson, as we march towards the playoffs, the last game of the regular season, happening tomorrow night on the 20th. So season wrapping up here soon in the AHL. A real shame is we're not going to see any Chicago Wolves jerseys in the playoffs this year, but if you would like to get yourself some Chicago Wolves merchandise, head over to chicagowolfstore.com, enter in code PHN15, save yourself 15% off that purchase. And, many of us like to say, there's always hope next year. All right, let's move on to the NHL. Fellas, season's ended. We have teams in the playoffs. We have the playoffs starting tomorrow on Saturday, April 20th. And then more first round action happening on the 21st. We have our matchups. We could take a look at our predictions going forward, or do we want to go back and look at our preseason predictions and see just how wrong, or in some cases, just how right we were? Let's focus on how right we were. looking at our preseason predictions, Jacob, there's been a thorn in Adam's side all season long.
Oh, no.
And it's because of a rule that you made. And I'm not getting off scot-free here because I went along with it. When we picked our most improved and biggest drop teams, you made a rule that we could not pick Boston for the biggest dropped team. As much as Adam wanted to take that, it's kind of a given. They were going to be the biggest drop. I mean, even if they got 100 points, it's, minus 36 points on the season. They had an unbelievable year last year. And it came true. They were the biggest drop in points year over year, I believe, minus 26 points on the season. But we're throwing that one out. Just because we couldn't pick them. Even though one of us really, really didn't. I'm sure he will say somehow that he picked that.
The reason why was because of it was just so obvious. They had such a historic season.
Yeah.
And then they lost Patrice Bergeron.
But none of us picked the biggest drop besides Boston. The biggest drop besides Boston was the New Jersey Devils. They dropped 21 points from last season. They went from 112 points last season to 81 points this season and missing the playoffs. And I see a little smirk on Lou's face there as he takes just a little bit of pleasure.
in the
misfortune of the New Jersey Devils. But I also want to point, there was one of us who was less wrong than the rest of us, all of us picked teams who improved as our biggest drop. Winnipeg, the Rangers, Pittsburgh, Nashville, all improved on points year over year. The only team who did not, and I hate to give him credit for this, Adam picked the Minnesota Wild to have the worst season, although they did have a pretty bad season. Their point drop was 15. As the most improved team, Lou got this one right. Lou knew something we didn't. And I didn't have faith in them to begin the season. After the first few months, I started to become a believer, and now they're looking dangerous. The Vancouver Canucks improved by 26 points year over year. Lou, take a victory lap. You were the only one to get that right. Detroit was Adam's pick. They improved 7 points. Jacob, your biggest improvement was the Columbus Blue Jackets. Let me check here real quick. They also improved by 7 points. By points. They went up by 7 points. The same as Detroit went up by 11 points. So Columbus by 7 points. Vancouver, we talked about. And I don't know if we want to talk about my pick. Maybe I had too much faith in a certain rookie coming to Chicago, but they actually did not improve. They minus 7 from last year. So they went down. Opposite direction. I was looking Chicago. I wanted you to go up. You went down. It was a miscommunication between me and the Blackhawks, really. As we look at what we know right now, is we do have a winner of the Rocket Richard Trophy. And it is nobody that we picked, because who wants to pick the obvious Austin Matthews to win? That's not exciting, right? That's boring. That's boring radio, right? Adam went with Nathan McKinnon. Jacob, you went with Leon Draisaitl. Lonnie went with McDavid. Lou, you also went with McDavid. Although McDavid didn't even finish in the top 10 in goals this year, did he?
No,
because he had 100 assists.
Exactly. No, he got a lot of points. He did not get many goals. And I also went with what I thought at that time was the obvious choice in besides Matthews was McDavid. So although he is still in the running for the Hart Trophy, I don't know if Matthews still is. McKinnon is. So we'll see the rest of these as they pan out. But right now, our preseason predictions, little choppy. Let's see. We could go over our division winners. Jacob, Toronto. They were top three, not far off the pace. Lonnie, also Toronto. Lou, Toronto. Adam, Boston. Okay. They snuck it out at the end. I got Florida. So there. I'll chalk that up as a win. In the Metro, this really was just a two-team race, and between the Rangers and the Hurricanes. Adam, Lonnie, Lou, myself all went with Carolina. Jacob was the only one to pick the New York Rangers to win the Metropolitan Division. So, Jacob, yay. Give yourself a little round of applause there. Maybe I'll throw in a little cheering in post-production. Who knows? Okay. All right, in the Central, everybody except for Lou picked Dallas to win. So, I don't know if we all need to cheer ourselves. Yay, we got it right.
Who did I pick?
You picked Minnesota.
Oh, jeez.
You're a little off on that one, but yeah, that's okay.
That's our reaction.
In the Pacific, nobody got Vancouver. I can tell you that. Nobody picked Vancouver to win the Pacific. It was either Edmonton or the Vegas Golden Knights. So we were all a little off on that one. To win the Eastern Conference, and this is where we're going to adjust our picks from the preseason. Looks like Adam and myself had a lot of faith in the New Jersey Devils. They are not in the playoffs. They are not going to be winning the Eastern Conference. So we could chalk that one up as a little error on our part. And everybody still has their preseason Western Conference champions still in the playoffs, even though the playoffs haven't started. They all made the playoffs. Everybody picked either Edmonton or Dallas or the Vegas Golden Knights. I'm starting to have a little bit more faith in my preseason pick of Dallas. I still think it's going to be a good Dallas Stanley Cup. They're not going to face the Devils like I had predicted early on, but we'll see. Our Stanley Cup winners preseason. I am the only one who picks somebody who's not in the playoffs this year. So sorry, Devils fans, if I gave you false hope. I thought you had a good team, and it fell apart very quickly this season. Otherwise, we have Edmonton. Adam's picking them to win the cup. Jacob, you have Carolina. I'm reading two different lines here. Carolina for Jacob. The Vegas Golden Knights for Lonnie. Lou, holding on to that hope of another Rangers Stanley Cup. This could be their year. They're looking really good. And no hope for New Jersey on my part. That being said, fellas, I think we need to adjust these preseason predictions. Let's start with our Eastern and Western Conference winners. Jacob?
So I kind of want to stay with Carolina, because I do think Carolina's done a fantastic job this season. Nobody's really talking about them as much as they should, really. But I do want to switch from Carolina to the New York Rangers. I feel a bit pressured to do it based off of just the media attention for New York. They're a really deep team. They've been playing really well this season. And when I think of a team that does well in the playoffs, I think of a team with a really good goalie who gets hot at the right time. And Shesterkin has all the tools and opportunity to get hot at the perfect time. And I think he might do that. So I'm going to pick New York.
All right. And for your Western Conference champion?
I want to think that Edmonton can do the same. But I saw how Colorado played last night.
I wouldn't put too much stock into how Colorado played last night, but
I'm talking about their second, third liners. You're not taking into, or like Colorado didn't field their star players as much. And they were still able to just dice and destroy the Oilers defense. And that scares me. Even with their second, third liners, McKinnon's not even doing that yet. And I have this bad feeling that Edmonton's going to have all the offense to make it to the Western Conference Finals, but I think Colorado will slay them again.
Okay, so you're going with Colorado as your Western Conference champion.
Yes.
All right. I am going to come to Lou in a minute here, but between those two, between the Rangers and the Avs, who's winning the Stanley Cup?
I think the Rangers.
In how many games?
Rangers are going to do it in six.
In six. All right, Lou, I am coming back to you. You and I did a little revision of our own early on. Maybe it's a few weeks ago, actually. You didn't exactly adjust yours. You still had the New York Rangers and the Dallas Stars facing off each other. Do you think that is still going to happen? Are you staying set with your Eastern and Western Conference champions?
Obviously, in the East, I will. I can't go against them. I thought Carolina would overtake them. I thought Carolina would take the Metropolitan Division. I don't think anybody realized the Rangers were going to have the season they did. Mm-hmm. And that was despite having a January that, they all want to just forget.
Right.
Basically a 500 month where Shesterkin was seeing BBs and not beach balls. And to Jacob's point, you know, he has turned hot at just the right time. Four shutouts over the course of the season. I think two or three of them were really at the end, including the final game of the season, a 4-0 shutout of the Senators. I still don't have the confidence in the Carolina Hurricanes that so many other people have. I actually see the Islanders taking the Hurricanes out in the first round. I am, and Richard, you and I spoke about this. Mm-hmm. In the last edition, I did not want the Rangers playing the Islanders. It's just, right. You know, it not in the first round. So I am sticking with the Rangers coming out of the East. It's not going to be easy, but, you know, the guy that I really, well, there are two guys that I really like, and Alexis Lafreniere and, of all things, Kaapo Kakko. Look, he has not scored, but this guy knows how to forecheck.
Yeah.
And the amount of strength that he has built up over the last two seasons is just spectacular. And for him to have come back from that injury that he had to his knee and come back and play and score and do that forechecking all over again, I think bodes well for the postseason. In the West, I think I'm still leaning towards Dallas because they spread their scoring out. Jake Ottinger is he a great goalie? He's a very good goalie. Yeah. I think the weakness might be, is Jake Ottinger the one to carry them through? And I am not certain of that. Now, the problem I've got with Jacob's prediction is you know what? I just don't have faith in Edmonton. Sorry, Jacob. I mean, there's something. They are the this generation's Toronto Maple Leafs getting out of the first round.
The Toronto Maple Leafs are still the Leafs.
I know, but you know they made it to the second round last year.
I want to watch them get eliminated in seven games to Boston.
Right. But like Richard said, Richard, I, Alexander Georgiev is not a number one goalie.
No, and the hardest thing is, I mean, yes, he's not the number one goalie that Colorado needs. He could be if he had some decent backup, but he has nothing behind him. He is it.
Yeah. So. If you give me a moment to opine here a little bit more, if not the Dallas Stars, I am going to take Nashville.
Oh, okay.
And mostly because of UC Soros. This guy has played lights out. Since they were prohibited from attending some concert, was it U2 at the Sphere?
Yeah.
They went on that 18 game point streak. UC Soros has carried the load, and I think he is good enough to carry the load in the playoffs.
Okay.
So Nashville is my Florida Panthers of 24.
That's fair. Yeah, I'm going to make a slight adjustment, to my preseason predictions as well. Even the edited, you know, mid-season predictions, I had Colorado and Boston facing each other. And that was mostly a dream of mine, seeing my two favorite teams face each other in the Stanley Cup. At the time, it looked like it was very plausible. Fast forward about a month or so, Colorado's not playing their best hockey right now. In fact, they're about to go face a Winnipeg team that they have yet to beat this season. Not to mention, Winnipeg has outscored Colorado 17-4 this season. Also, remember last Saturday when Winnipeg beat Colorado 7-0? Things are not looking good for Colorado to get out of the first round. I don't have them getting out of the first round. In fact, I think Winnipeg is winning this game. Possible sweep. I'm giving it a gentleman's sweep at best. Colorado's winning one game, and that's probably going to be game 3 back here in Colorado. So I'm going to stick with my original preseason prediction. I think Dallas is my team right now. They are getting hot at just the right moment. Ottinger, right now I'm getting 2019 Jordan Binnington vibes from him. Mm. And we know what Binnington did in 2019. He was able to put together a great series of goaltending to help the Blues win their Stanley Cup. A Stanley Cup that I'm still a little bitter about, but hey, that's me as a Bruins fan. I'm getting that kind of vibe from the Stars this year. They are looking good. They were on an 8-game winning streak up until recently, towards the end of the season. Part of that was beating Colorado. I think Colorado gave them their 8th win earlier this month. I'm going to have to go with Dallas. I am going to switch my Eastern Conference. As much as I would love to see Boston back in the Stanley Cup, I can't bet against the Rangers right now. They are playing phenomenal. And I think the best thing for the sport right now and the best thing for the league is to see the Rangers and the Stars face off in the Stanley Cup, because right now those are two of the best teams playing hockey. And I'm going to give it to the Rangers in 6 games.
Yeah, I didn't give you my predictions.
Oh, so yeah, yeah. Your Stanley Cup.
The Rangers in 6 as well.
We all have Rangers in 6. How about that?
Yeah.
Go us. I mean, 6 is an easy one to kind of pick. You're like, oh, it's going to be a good series. I don't think it's going to go the distance, though. It's nice in the middle when you can't commit to either the distance or a sweep.
How can you go wrong if you've got Jonathan Quick as your backup?
Love the guy. I love it. Like,
17-5 over a season as a backup is just staggering.
And he's got a great team in front of him too. Yeah, it's like when he won the cup last year with the Vegas Golden Knights. I think he played a couple of games at the end of the season and didn't play any in the playoffs. But yep, still got his name back on the cup.
Yeah.
I would love to get that gig. Can I be the backup for the Vegas Golden, the 2023 Vegas Golden Knights? I'm not going to need to play. I'll just be on the roster. But hey, that was a great move. I gotta say, that was a great move by the Vegas Golden Knights, picking him up after what LA did. They're like, just get out of here. We don't need you and your, you know, the legendary seasons you had with us. We don't need those anymore. You're dismissed.
So I got a question for you too.
Okay.
Whose jersey does he wear going into the Hall of Fame?
He's got to wear the LA jersey.
Depends how long he plays for the Rangers. I don't think it does. It has to be LA.
Yeah, that's where he spent 90% of his career.
Unless he stays in New York, somehow wins the starting job and plays like another 2 more seasons with the New York Rangers, and then carries them to a cup or something, then
he's got one. He signed a contract for next year.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So did Marc-Andre Fleury.
I'm going to go out on, yes, exactly. I'm going to go out on a limb and say he would wear a Rangers because they were his hometown team. He's always wanted to play for them.
Huh. I mean,
okay.
Just a little okay. Something to bet on.
Okay.
Brought to you by Bet Us Sports.
All right. So there we go. Those are our playoff predictions here. And we'll be getting to this weekend's games as part of our picks later on in the episode. Fellas, let's turn our attention, of course, back to the NHL. I want to just get some feelings from you, and I have my own opinions on this, which I'll be more than happy to share, about the series that we're about to see starting tomorrow. And Lou, I'm going to start with you. Which series, out of all the matchups that we're going to see in the first round, which do you think is going to end the quickest in the shortest amount of games?
In the first round?
In the first round.
Oh, boy. I don't think there will be any 4-game sweeps. Everybody that's in the brackets. Rangers in five. That's going to be okay. The quickest.
They're going to beat the Capitals in five games.
Yeah, Rangers have got a chip on their shoulder from what Tom Wilson did to them a couple of years ago.
That's true.
And Peter Laviolette is the one to exact revenge because the Caps fired him, and yep. Before he took the job in New York.
Jacob, your thoughts. Which of the eight series that we're going to see in the first round is going to end the quickest?
Part of me wants to say New York will beat Washington, but I think Washington will I'm going to say New York as well. I think it's going to be a sweep. I just don't think Washington's that good of a team. And against the Rangers, with all the firepower that they have, and Washington doesn't have really much of anything outside of Ovechkin. So, yeah. And it's going to be really one-dimensional kind of style of play. It's New York can play a bunch of different styles. They can adjust, they can adapt. Whereas Washington really only has one win condition. And now, New York knows.
Now let me throw this into the equation, Jacob. In the four games they've played this season, Washington and New York are 2-2 against each other. In fact, they are split right down the middle. They're 2-2 and both have scored 9 goals against each other.
But playoffs are different, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, this is a little taste of how they play each other because the divisional play, they've seen each other a few times. I'm not disagreeing that it's going to be over really quick. I have a good feeling it's going to be a sweep as well. To me, it's not as foregone a conclusion here.
Well, who do you think then?
Definitely going to be a sweep. And I had mentioned it earlier. I think it's going to be Colorado. I think Colorado's going to get swept.
I'd be surprised if Colorado got swept.
I'm going to mark it down right here. The max that series is going to go between Colorado and Winnipeg. That's going 5 games max. I am going to be very surprised if Colorado sneaks one away. They're going to be an early exit.
Yeah. Really?
Oh yeah. My confidence in they have the firepower to stick with anybody in the league. The problem is they have goaltending who's bruised, battered, and very much just one person. And Georgiev is not the person you hang your hat on to say, we're riding you through the playoffs. He might steal you a game, but you don't have anything behind him.
I think he steals 2.
You think he steals 2?
Yeah, 4-2.
Okay. All right. So, shortest series. What's going to be the toughest series? In the first round, do you see any games going 7, Jacob?
Yeah, I see 2. Toronto and Boston. And Vegas and Dallas.
Ooh, yeah, Vegas and Dallas.
You know, Vegas has their Mark Stone coming back. So I think he'll be really good. Him and Hurdle coming back. Those are some pretty good additions. So.
Yeah. Out of the other matchups. Yeah. Okay. Lou, any games going 7 or any series going 7?
Yes. I think the Islanders will stretch that series to 7 games with the Carolina Hurricanes.
Ooh.
I'm just not sold on Carolina. And to be honest, I also think that this is their year. They either do it now or they're going to have to do something else. And yes, they had some great outcomes. They lost their last game of the season, but it was a throwaway because the Rangers had already clinched the division and everything else. So in the East, I see Carolina. I see the Islanders at taking that to seven and potentially winning it in seven. Boy, oh boy. The other one that I kind of hope is a seven gamer are the Kings and Oilers in the West.
Okay.
That could be, again, you know, the Kings are riding Cam Talbot in net. I don't know that Talbot is a Stanley Cup winning goalie. I like him. You know, started off with the Rangers as number two to Henrik Lundqvist, a great goalie. But I just don't know if he's Stanley Cup material. But I do think that he could steal a series, and this might be the one. And I think this one goes seven.
Okay. I think I'm inclined to agree with Jacob here. I think the Dallas series, that one has, I think that one has all the makings of going seven.
But also, I think it could also just completely be a slaughter too. If
I mean, you get a few bad bounces of the puck, and that series is going to be over. That's going to be the sweep that we didn't see coming.
Sure.
But yeah, no, I think the Dallas series to me is the series that looks to go seven. Just both teams playing great towards the end of the season, riding that momentum. I mean, Vegas kind of had to stay in the playoff picture. Dallas didn't really have to, but they kind of turned on the Jets at the end of the season to solidify that that division crown. So, I think both teams, and as you mentioned, Mark Stone coming back, both teams have the potential to just, you know, go pound for pound with the other. So, yeah, that's my pick to go seven.
So do you still have Dallas winning it in seven?
I still have Dallas winning it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right. I think Jacob kind of kicked us off with this with Mark Stone, but do we have players to watch going into the playoffs? Anybody you're excited to see do some amazing things, or anybody we need to be concerned about? Lou, I'll start with you.
I'll stick with my Rangers and say Shesterkin. I'll go with the goalie as the player to watch in the East. In the West, Brock Besser out of Vancouver.
Okay. Jacob, who are you watching?
So I actually have three players.
Okay.
Two in the West. So I think Stuart Skinner for Edmonton is going to be really important to watch because, well, it's his net now. He's going to be relied on to carry the Oilers from here on out. And he needs to perform well in the playoffs. And that's it. In Vancouver, and Edmonton's success really depends on if Stuart Skinner can keep improving and take another step. And then the next one is Thatcher Demko in Vancouver. He's coming off an injury. Vancouver is not even going to make it out of the first round if he's not healthy and he's not ready to play, because I don't even know who their backup goaltender is. I completely forgot. And he hasn't been doing well himself. So Vancouver really needs Thatcher Demko to come back and play out of his mind. In the East, I think Matthew Tkachuk is going to be very important for the Florida Panthers. He's one of those guys you really want in the playoffs. He'll rally the troops, get everyone going, and that's what he did last playoffs. and I expect them to do it again.
Okay. For me, I again, being here in Colorado, and I'm going to be following the Avalanche very closely, the player I'm going to watch and the player I'm very cautious of and very interested in at the same time is going to be Connor Hellebuyck. He's had a phenomenal season, but he has only gotten out of the first round of the playoffs twice in his career. And I don't think he's made it past the second round. So if there's any bright light for the Colorado Avalanche to try and sneak their way into the second round, it's going to be if they can find any weaknesses on Connor Hellebuyck, who is right now not showing much weakness. He's not showing, like, you can't get much past him right now. He's playing great. In the East, Lou got me thinking about this when he was talking about the Islanders potentially upsetting the Hurricanes. Bo Horvat and the Islanders' acquisition of him for just this reason, to increase the scoring, get past the first round, and possibly make a deep push into the playoffs. If they can get some good production out of Horvat, I think that is going to be key for the Islanders' success in the first round.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
So there are our, you know, I don't want to say unprofessional, but we're not professionals here. We're giving our opinions. Those are our predictions for the Stanley Cup playoffs as we enter into round one, starting on Saturday, April 20th. Let's talk a little bit before we get to our weekly picks here. Let's talk a little bit of news to come out of the league. And if you were living under a rock in the desert somewhere, you might wake up and find out after you get out from under your rock that you don't have a hockey team in the desert anymore. The Arizona Coyotes, no longer the Arizona Coyotes, moving to Utah to start next season. Fans are not terribly happy about it, as can be understood. A lot of mismanagement from the front office, from the ownership. It was just a mess of how this whole thing went down. I think three different attempts to try and build a new arena to be able to keep the team there. But there's now this five-year deal where if they can find a home arena, the team gets to start up again because they're pausing operations. They're not officially moving, right, Lou? They're not relocating. They're pausing operations, but the assets of the team are moving to Utah.
I have never heard the term inactivated before,
right,
with regard to an NHL team. They've been inactivated. And I saw today that it will take 18 months to reactivate them. So
as Adam had mentioned last week, in five seasons, we could potentially have a Utah, Arizona, Atlanta, Winnipeg opening day. And the big question thrown out was, do you send Winnipeg to face Arizona or do you have Winnipeg face Atlanta and potentially have Utah face Arizona in 5 years?
Yeah, Winnipeg, Atlanta. Utah, Arizona.
Because they have all the Thrasher records, right?
Right.
In Winnipeg. So, we can have that situation. But the one thing, the assets of the Coyotes are going to Utah. The one thing that's not going with the Coyotes to Utah is the name Coyotes. Mm-hmm. And as we have learned, the new owner is going to start out with the name Utah on the jersey. It's going to be Utah until they can come up with a name and a logo. And they only have 168 days until the season opens for the 2024-25 season. Lou, as we love to conjure up things and make them happen in the real world, are there any good names that you can think of for Utah to use for their new club, you know, halfway through the season when they finally get around to it?
So serious one, or I'll give you both.
Okay,
so,
give me both.
Yeah, I'll give you both. So my sarcastic one was the Utah Salt Licks.
Mm-hmm.
I have, let's see, a serious one, Utah Flats.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Jacob?
It's not a pejorative.
No, it's not. Jacob, I know that the people from the Utah club are listening to us right now. Do you have any suggestions to them on what they should call that hockey team?
Should be something Mormon related.
I mean, there's the obvious one.
Yes. I'm drawing a blank on it though. It was the, I'll just call them Nordiques.
Nordiques.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. But nobody's going to be mad about that.
But also I did see that they applied for a trademark for the Utah Yeti. And I think that's a great name. I think that'd be
Utah Yeti.
The Avalanche would like to have words.
I like
you're not going to steal our Yeti. You're not going to steal our bring Howler back.
I like the alliteration, Jacob.
Yeah, well, it's not me. They literally applied.
No. I like it. Yeah,
Ryan Smith. Yeah,
as long as it's not cartoonish. Yeah.
All right, I'm gonna throw a name out here, the Utah Gulls, because the state bird of Utah is the California gull. Wait, no, you can't do that. Let's see, the Utah, I'll just call them the Utah Hockey Club.
Applied for a trademark for that. The other
trademarks
include the Utah Blizzard, the Utah Venom, the Utah Fury, Utah HC, and Utah Hockey Club.
What was the last one before HC?
Utah Fury.
Fury.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, go into to state official state somethings, because they're going to be the Utah something. The state cooking pot. They could be the Utah Dutch ovens. No? Okay.
That's just not a good idea. I see blankets and...
the Utah Topaz, because that's their state gem. These are million-dollar ideas, people. Come on. The Utah honeybees, that's their state insect.
That was what the Utah hive was, one of the first that I saw as a proposed name.
That their state emblem is the beehive. Yep.
Yeah. The arena will be called the hive. I know they're in the Delta Center, but they can nickname it the hive.
I'm sure they can. The Utah sugar beets is the state historic vegetable. There's a million things you could do here. Come on, people.
No, you know what? It's the Utah Jazz are the primary tenant of the Delta Center. Utah Jazz. What about the Utah Funk? I would love that.
I feel like that would confuse a lot of people attending their games. If you take the U from Utah,
I know,
and put it after funk.
Yes, I know.
That's not why it's going to confuse. But okay, bad joke.
No. Anyways, I get it. Funk that, and that jazz, jazz and funk. Wow.
Okay, we have spiraled out of control here. Anyways, so we know that the state of Utah is going to have hockey starting next season with the whatever they're going to call it, the Utah somethings. We'll keep you updated on the podcast. I'm gonna need to cut this up like a good trim from Manscaped. Head over to manscaped.com/prohockeynews. Save yourself 20% off your purchase and help me just, you know, trim this episode, Manscaped. I would appreciate it. All right. But let's dig myself out of a hole here. Jacob, we have, I believe, some picks to make this week.
Well, here's what we're doing for picks, because it's playoffs and there's only going to be two games. How about we just do the bracket? We have the bracket and we'll post it publicly.
Oh, I was thinking that we got six games between Saturday and Sunday. Let's just do all six matchups that we're going to get.
Okay, one second. Okay, Saturday. So the first game, we got the New York Islanders at the Carolina Hurricanes to kick off the Stanley Cup playoffs. Richard, I'm going to start with you.
I'm going to say the Islanders are taking game one of this one.
Okay.
Lou? Got the same thing, Islanders.
Okay. I will go Carolina. Actually, I think the Canes are going to be... I don't understand why you guys think the Islanders are going to beat the Canes, but... Yeah, next game, we got the Toronto Maple Leafs at the Boston Bruins. Richard, or Lou, rather. Lou, it's your turn.
Give me Boston.
Okay. Richard.
Boston is definitely going to put Toronto in panic mode after game one.
I'll make that one unanimous. I agree. I think it's going to be Boston will come out swinging. And we got the Tampa Bay Lightning at the Florida Panthers. Richard.
Give me Florida.
Okay.
They've been playing hot as of late. Tampa Bay, I mean, I know they haven't had much to play for because they've had their spot clinched for a while and they weren't moving into the top three. Yeah, I'll take Florida.
Tampa for exactly the opposite reason. I think Tampa really had to fight to get in. I had counted them out early in the season. They came back. So give me Tampa to keep it rolling.
Okay. I will agree with you. I think Tampa Bay will open the series with a win, but I think they'll get run over pretty quickly and overwhelmed with Florida's very physical play. And one more, or actually, okay, we're doing six. Washington and New York. Okay. Lou, who do you got?
Yes.
Okay, so the New York Rangers. Richard, who do you got?
Rangers.
Yeah.
We talked about that. It's the closest thing we're going to see to a sweep.
Fair enough. And Colorado, Winnipeg. I assume you guys are both going Winnipeg? Lou?
You know, listening to Richard today, yeah, I have to take the Jets. I mean, I might have... Richard, I might have gone the other way if you hadn't given a better, a good rundown. So give me the Jets.
Yeah. Richard?
For the record, I'm taking the Jets.
Yes. Okay. I will go. Honestly, you made a really good point. I'm also going to go.
But you have Colorado winning the series, right? Yeah, they could lose game one and still win the series.
Yeah. I'm going to go Colorado first for game one.
Okay.
I think Winnipeg will get back. It'll be a closer series than you guys, I think. Next, the final one for realsies this time. Nashville at Vancouver. Richard, who do you believe in?
Oh. Nashville really turned it on at the end of the season. They made a really good push to get into the playoffs. I had counted them out probably earlier than I should have. I've had a hard time gauging this team all season long, but Vancouver is so good right now. I'm going to take Vancouver.
Okay. Lou.
Well, based on our earlier discussion, I think I'm going to have to take Nashville. I boxed myself into a corner.
I am going to agree with you, actually. I think Nashville will just take advantage of Demko's lack of health, at least for the first game. But then, I don't know. I still think Nashville's going to win that series. And that's it for the picks. If you'd like to follow along, use the hashtag PHNPicks and follow along at the PHN Twitter account or X account, PH_podcast.
All right. Time for our parting thoughts. Lou, we'll start with you.
I am going to do the mea culpa for having stepped on you earlier in the broadcast, and I'm going to leave it at that. Okay.
Okay. Jacob.
Well, it's playoff time. I can't be. It's very exciting. It's going to be great watching this this playoff come out. It's going to be very interesting to see who gets out of the first round, because anything can happen. Mm-hmm. Also, playoffs in Edmonton are just a great atmosphere. Super excited. So that's it.
All right. My parting thought this week, congratulations to Nathan MacKinnon. He broke the franchise record for most points in the season at 140 points. Previous record, 139 points. Can either of you two guess who that was?
Joe Sakic?
No.
I was going to go Joe Sakic as well. Who was it?
Peter Stastny.
Oh.
Of the Quebec Nordiques back in the 81-82 season. So a 42-year-old record has been broken by Nate the Great, Nathan MacKinnon. So congratulations to him. And I honestly hope that the Avalanche prove me wrong. I just don't have a good feeling going into the series. But if they do, I will happily eat those words and say, sorry. Listeners, thank you for listening to this edition of the Pro Hockey News Podcast. Thank you to all of our sponsors, Manscaped, Chicago Wolves Merchandise Store, My Custom Sports Chair, and LDE Affinity Jewelry. Thank you to Jacob Doherty and Lou Lafredo for joining me on this second line edition of the podcast. And listeners, thank you for making this a part of your routine. I will see you all next week.